Okay. Well, good evening, everybody. Are you happy to be in worship this evening? Are you happy to get to sing some Christmas songs? Phil, thank you for leading worship. Jeremy, thank you for going around with the mic. It's not as easy of a job, especially for me when I have to do it, because I cannot see when you guys raise your hands because I am blind. I have to, if you can see my notes, it's pretty big font because I cannot see at all when I'm up here. So thank you guys for helping in worship. Jimmy and Carla and Ashley and Phil went to Indy to go listen to some music, so hopefully they have a good time there as well. So, church, we should be thankful for Jesus coming to earth, for Christmas. It's such a wonderful gift that God would come here in human flesh to die for us, that we might have salvation in Him. There is no one greater than Him, church. There is no one more wonderful than Jesus Christ for what He's done. Wow, a baby. God, the Savior is born. Joy to the world. Is it not joyful, church? Joy to the world that God sent His Son for us. Amen, church. Amen. This might be a shorter service this evening, and that's all right. We'll see how the Lord takes this message, but it's a little bit of the opposite of what we sang. We sang about Christmas and joy, but I want to read. Typically, I open with a psalm, and I love psalms. I love to get to read them because I think they're so lovely and wonderful, but I actually want to start and open the service up with a hymn. I love this hymn. It means so much to me. It says, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not the good I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now by this I'll overcome, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now by this I'll reach my home, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Glory, glory, this I sing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. All my praise for this I bring, nothing but the blood of Jesus." Amen, church. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Amen, church. Remember this. Remember where your salvation comes from. It comes from Jesus dying on the cross, bleeding and dying for you. You and I, for God so loved us so much that He sent His Son to die on the cross, that whoever believes might be saved through Him. That's an amazing, amazing gift, church. An amazing gift. Oh, how wonderful is the blood of Jesus. We would not be here in this church if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen, church. There are many Christians that have forgotten the work of Christ in their life. They've walked away from the work of Christ in their life. They've forgotten the blood that has cleansed them as white as snow. And they are living as if they've never been redeemed at all. Church, have you been there in the place where you've been sinning over and over? And somebody might look and they don't even understand if you're a Christian or not, that you've been redeemed in your life, that you've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So I want to ask you this question. Have you forgotten what Christ has done in your life? Oh, wow, is Christmas wonderful? It's a great an awesome gift that God gives. But oh, how wonderful is the blood of Christ that works in our life every day. Amen, church. We should rejoice because we know God. You should be able to rejoice in your sufferings, in your pains, because you know God. Because you've partaken in the blood of Jesus Christ. He shows this to the disciples. This is my cup, the cup, my blood. So wonderful, church. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 9 this evening. It's going to be a deeper message. Hopefully we learn a little bit. It's a little bit more teaching. So if you have your Bibles, make sure you turn to Hebrews 9, because we're going to cover as much as we can cover. Luckily, Phil Jones just had a couple songs, so I can go maybe just a little bit longer. But Hebrews chapter 9. Let me give you just a little bit of context. See, there's two covenants that we have to understand as believers in Jesus Christ. The first covenant was not sufficient. That's the law of Moses. That's the people who should obey. They were supposed to be faithful and obedient with their sacrifices, with their worship, all those types of things. But listen to me, the Israelites did not keep the first covenant. They broke the first covenant. So when Jesus Christ came, he brought us a new covenant, a better covenant, a perfect covenant. We have to understand that as we walk along in these verses. But in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1, starting in verse 1, says, "Now the first covenant had regulations for worship and also an earthly sanctuary. A tabernacle was set up, and in the first room were the lampstand and the table with the consecrated bread, and this was the holy place. Behind the second curtain was a room called the most holy place, which was the golden altar of incense and the gold-covered ark of the covenant. This ark contained the gold jar of manna, Aaron's staff that had budded, and the stone tablets of the covenant. Above the ark were the cherubim of the glory overshadowing the atonement cover, but we cannot discuss these things in detail now." I think it's funny how the writer of Hebrews says that last piece. I don't have enough pages to talk about how much detail goes into the tabernacle or the temple or whatever you want to say there. The tent that held the Ark of the Covenant. But let's just break this down for just a moment. There were two rooms. The first room had the lampstand that lit up the tent. The tabernacle was in the tent was about 45 feet long. It was about 15 feet wide and 15 feet high. That's a pretty big tent. This tent moved around a lot. This is a pretty big tent. That held the lampstand. It held the table that had the bread on. There was 12 loaves of bread. And that 12 loaves of bread represented God's fellowship with the 12 tribes of Israel. I know this is deep stuff, but we're going to get there, church. And then in the second one, there's a big, huge curtain. This curtain was about, in that tabernacle, about 15 feet high, 15 feet wide. But in the temple, it was much bigger than that, 60 feet high. And around Jesus' day, it was about 4 inches thick. That's a huge, huge curtain. That'd be hard to move. 4 inches thick. That's important. Remember that. 4 inches thick. And in that room had the Ark of the Covenant, God's dwelling place. This is where they thought God dwelt in. He was there. And this is an important thing. This Ark of the Covenant had manna from when they were in the wilderness, had Aaron's staff, and it had the stone tablets. Ten Commandments had the stone tablets in there. And then on top, it was, oh, what a beautiful picture. I know some of you may be seeing Indiana Jones, and when you see the Ark of the Covenant, it had two cherubim kind of reaching out. It was covered in gold. My translation says atonement cover. A lot of your translations might say mercy seat. This was important to understand. The mercy seat is where they would take the offering's blood, and they would sprinkle over the mercy seat. Granted, a lot of religious stuff, a lot of stuff but it's super important for us to understand. But again, I'll say, I'm only giving you a brief summary. Church, let me remind you of something, because you'll have people tell you this in your life, that the Old Testament is no longer good. We do not need it anymore. Oh, we need it. We need the Old Testament. Where is the writer of Hebrews getting all this? Is he making this up? No, he's getting it from the Old Testament. He sees all this stuff that's had to happen. See, people daily would have to make sacrifices for their sins or for whatever offerings they'd have to make. A lot of offerings were just for worship. You know, we're supposed to offer our bodies as living sacrifices to the Lord. That's everything you do should be done for the Lord. And this is what these people were doing with their offerings. It's divided into two rooms. There's a big veil, and the blood was sprinkled over. This was all to atone. This is an important word to understand. Atone for the sins of the people. Let's move on to verse 6. It says, "When everything had been arranged like this, the priests entered regularly into the outer room," that's that first room, "to carry on their ministry, but only the high priest entered the inner room." That's the Holy of Holy Places. "And that was only done once a year and never without blood, which he offered for himself and then for the sins of the people had committed in ignorance." This is important. Not only are the priests doing their duties like they're supposed to, what are they doing? They're changing the oil in the lampstand. They're changing out the bread and obviously a lot of other things that they're doing. But there's a special person. That's the high priest. That's important to understand too, church. The high priest was the only one that went into the Holy of Holies, that second room, the behind the veil, that where the Ark of the Covenant stood. And not only did he have to sacrifice for the people, he had to sacrifice for himself, for his sins, before he could go in. Listen to me. God is loving, he is gracious, he is awesome, but listen to me, he is also holy. God is also holy. Very, very holy. And these people, when I was doing my study, I thought this was a funny thing. A lot of times when this Day of Atonement, you ever hear that the festival or whatever? The Day of Atonement, that's what this is. When the high priest would go behind once a year. I was reading that, I thought it was kind of funny that it said the high priest a lot of times would make his prayer short and sweet. Because he wanted to get out. I've also heard sometimes they tie a rope to the high priest. Because if he died, they didn't want to go back there to get him. They would have to drag him out if he didn't make it out. Listen to me. God is holy and he is glorious. That's the first covenant, though. That's important to understand. That's the first covenant. See, the Day of Atonement wasn't just the sins you knew. They were also for the sins you didn't know. Do you know we also commit sins in ignorance, church? There's many times we sin, and you'll be looking back at your life, well, wow, why did I do that? I didn't even remember doing that. I've done that many, I don't even remember sinning like that. And listen to me, that's what specifically with the Day of Atonement for, was the high priest would go in there and he would sprinkle the blood for all the people, even if they didn't know what they did wrong. The people were supposed to take care of their sins, ask God for forgiveness, sacrifice their offering to God for their own sins. But the high priest had to make sure that everybody's sins was atoned for. Verse 8, it says, the Holy Spirit was showing by this that the way into the Most High place had not yet been disclosed as long as the first tabernacle was still functioning. This is an illustration for the present time, indicating that the gifts and sacrifices being offered were not able to clear the conscience of the worshiper. They are only a matter of food and drink and various ceremonial washings, external regulations applying until the time of the new order. Do we understand that, church? There's a lot in that. Why did they have to sacrifice? And why do we not have to sacrifice today? They sacrificed specifically so they were outwardly clean, ceremonially clean, clean on the outside. Praise the Lord, Jesus cleans us on the inside. Amen, church? He cleans us on the inside. This is why the new covenant, the new order, as my translation says, is so much better, because not only does it wash us outwardly, ceremonially, but it also cleanses our soul. It cleanses our heart, because Jesus is the perfect sacrifice, as we'll see as we continue to go on in this passage. But listen to me. This is important to understand. Christ reigns in the heavenly tabernacle. See, that tabernacle that was made here on earth, the 45 feet or whatever it is, that was made by human hands, a copy. It's a copy of what's in heaven. Just a copy. But Christ reigns in the heavenly tabernacle. That's important to understand. Verse 11 says, but when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are now already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not made by human hands, that is to say, not part of this creation. Again, I will say, Jesus Christ is our high priest now. We don't have to do our sacrifices like they did back in Jerusalem. We don't have to do those sacrifices anymore, because Christ is the perfect sacrifice, because he's the high priest that dwells in the heavenly tabernacle. I know this is a lot of deep stuff, but church, I hope we gain a little bit more understanding than we had yesterday. You know, church, we should be striving every day to learn a little bit more about the Word of God. Can I tell you, most Christians don't know what the Day of Atonement is. Most Christians don't know why they sacrificed. I was one of those Christians. I didn't understand why they had to make sacrifices and do those things. But when I understand why they had to sacrifice, I understand why it is so awesome and why it's so wonderful to know that Jesus sacrificed himself for me. It's so important to understand these old sacrifices only because, listen to me, church, only because Jesus went through the same thing to atone for our sins. Same thing to atone. He's in the greater and more perfect tabernacle. It's not made by human hands. And he says, that's to say it's not part of this creation. It's beyond this creation. It's the wonderful place in heaven. Verse 12, it says, he did not enter by means of the blood of goats or calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. The blood of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctified them so that they were outwardly clean. How much more than will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from the acts that lead to death so that they may serve the living God. Amen, church. Listen to me. Christ reigns in the heavenly tabernacle and he intercedes for you and I. See, Jesus' sacrifice was perfect, church. Why was it perfect? Because he was the Lamb of God without blemish, without spot, without stain. And this is so important. He freely gave his life. He voluntarily gave up his life. He could have called 10,000 angels down if he wanted, but he freely gave. Why did he freely give? Because he was motivated by love for you and I. God demonstrates his love that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is important to understand. He didn't sacrifice a goat to atone for your sins. He didn't sacrifice a calf for your sin. What did he sacrifice? He sacrificed himself, church. This is important. He poured out his blood for you and I. Again, I will say, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. Why is this so important to understand? Because you are saved because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you want your mom or dad to be saved, understand that the blood of Christ is powerful enough to save and wash their sins as white as snow. And listen to me, those sacrifices, they were wonderful. They were done in faith and obedience because God called them to do it. But wow, did it only go so far? It was only sufficient so far. Just a covering. It says, who were ceremonially unclean, sanctify them so that they were outwardly clean. So they were outwardly clean. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that his blood is so powerful that it leaves us without unblemish and spot before God. Let me read this one more time. How much more than will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from the acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God. Listen to me, the blood of Jesus washes your sins away. Those acts that lead to death. Listen to me, if you were once an addict, if you were a liar, if you struggled with sexuality, if you struggled with porn, whatever it might be, whatever your struggle, whatever your sin was, his blood is sufficient to wash you as white as snow. It is so much greater. And listen to me, it is not a freedom for you to go about sinning when you have the blood of Christ. Why does he wash us as white as snow? So that we may serve the living God. As a believer in Jesus Christ who's been washed with the blood of Christ, listen to me, your obligation and your privilege is to serve the living God, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices to God, holy and pleasing to him. That's your true and proper worship, church. To offer yourself to God, to live as living sacrifices for God. And listen to me, there is no better place to be than serving the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no better place than to serve God. It cleanses us, washes us from the acts that lead to death. For the wages of sin is death, church. And through the grace and mercy of God, through the blood of Jesus Christ, he's washed it as white as snow. You don't have to die eternally anymore. You get to partake in heaven because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Let that sink in for a minute as we continue to go on, church. Picture the cross. when Jesus is bleeding and dying for you and I, he cries out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. While the people mocked and spit at him. Again, I'll remind you, he didn't have to do it. He could have called the angels down. But he thought you were worth it enough to pour out his blood for you. So that his blood, the sufficient, perfect Lamb of God, would cover your sins for all of eternity. The people had to constantly sacrifice over and over and over again. Because that blood wasn't sufficient. But the blood of Christ is sufficient enough that we don't have to continue to sacrifice over and over again. Listen to me. When God forgives you, he forgives you. When God says, I cast your sin as far as the east is from the west. Listen to me, church. He's done it. Amen, church. Let's rejoice in knowing that God loves us enough to forgive us. He is so wonderful and good to us. His blood is sufficient for eternal life. Maybe you're here today and you need eternal life. Listen to me closely. His blood is sufficient for you. Maybe you know somebody. Maybe you have friends or family who need the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to me very closely. The blood of Christ is sufficient for them. The blood of Christ is sufficient that all men and all women might be saved. So if you have sin in your life, Christ's blood is good enough. There's not another way. You can't do a lot of good in your life. You can't be a really good person. Because if you do not have the blood of Christ, you will not enter into heaven. But wow, has he made it so easy for us to have the blood of Christ. Again, remember Christmas? Remember what he did on the cross. Christ has set us free, church. He has freed us, and he's redeemed our life. Verse 15 says, for this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. Listen to me. Christ has set us free. He's broken the chains of sin in our life. He's redeemed us. That word redeemed is such an important word. It means he bought us back. He's redeemed us. He's bought us back. Your sin debt, it was too high. It was too big for you to pay. Nobody on earth could pay it. But listen to me. Jesus Christ redeemed us back. He bought us back because his blood is sufficient enough to buy you back. He's redeemed your life. And listen to me, the blood is so powerful that a person that had the horrible life, that did horrible things, can turn around and live for God. That is such a wonderful thing for me to always see in people's lives. When Christ comes in and changes their life, wow, can they actually do mighty things for God? But it's not by their power. It's by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ that works in their life. And listen to me, the only reason why I'm standing here today preaching the Word of God is because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And hopefully you can say the only reason why you're sitting here today and learning about the Word of God is because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Everything about your life should be based around the blood of Jesus Christ in your life. Listen to me. In verse 22 it says, in fact the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no forgiveness. You're forgiven because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And without the blood of Jesus Christ, we cannot be forgiven. So praise the Lord that he shed his blood for you and I, that we might have forgiveness, that you can cast your sins before him, and he cast them as far as the east is from the west. And if you have sins upon sins, you can go to the Father and ask for forgiveness, and he cleanses you as white as snow, and he cleanses you from all of your unrighteousness. That is such an amazing thing to me. He sacrificed for all sins. Every sin I've ever committed. You have not sinned too great for God's Christ's blood to not be big enough. You hear me, church? And the reason why I say that today is because there's people right now thinking they've done something that God cannot forgive them from. There might be people in your lives today that think they cannot be forgiven by God. But let me remind you, there is no sin too great for God's blood not to wash over you. There is no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. Verse 23, it says, it was necessary then for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with the sacrifices, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. What is that talking about? That's saying that those sacrifices and things were temporary. They weren't sufficient enough. But God used Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, so that it would be sufficient enough to cover our debt, to cover our sins. That's important to understand. In verse 24 it says, for Christ did not enter a sanctuary made of human hands, but that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. That's important. He appears for us in God's presence. Listen to me. Many of you know this, but he sits at the right hand of God and he intercedes for you and I. That's an important thing. God intercedes, Christ intercedes for you and I at the right hand of the Father. Listen to me. That's important because when the devil accuses you of this or that or this or that, but you have Christ in your life, listen to me. The accuser is not going to be able to accuse you when you have the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus sits at the right hand of God. We're no longer separated. There's this big veil in the tabernacle, in the temple. That was a sign of separation. The high priest was the only one allowed to get to the Ark of the Covenant. That veil was a sign of separation, but because of Jesus Christ, there is no separation anymore. This new covenant is the better covenant. That's important to understand. And listen to me, there's an important thing that happens when you read the Gospels. Jesus is dying on the cross, bleeding and dying, breathes his last, cries out, gives up his spirit, and something amazing happens. That 4-inch thick curtain I was talking about, ripped from top to bottom. Can I tell you, horses tied to one end to the other could not rip that veil. That's how powerful the blood of Jesus Christ is. So powerful to rip the veil between you and God. Wow. That's awesome. Is it not, church? Jesus breathed his last, and that veil's torn. And now listen to me, church. Because that veil's torn, you get to enter into heaven. Not by your own righteousness, but by the righteousness of Christ, by the blood of Jesus Christ. Be thankful and happy. This is why Christmas is as joyful as it is. Is there gruesome parts to the cross? Of course there are. Because listen to me, our sin is very gruesome. It's very messy. It's very evil. It's very bad. But God loved us so much that he made something messy, something so messy as sacrificing his son, and something so glorious as giving us salvation through it. Because it was sufficient. It was big enough. Such an awesome peace, church. I hope you never forget the blood of Jesus Christ. Verse 25, it says, nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that's not his own. Otherwise, Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But he has appeared once for all at the accumulation of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Listen to me, Christ does not come back to die over and over and over again. Church, listen to me, he died once for all sins. That's important to understand. He died once for all sins. Those in the past and those in the future. That's how powerful the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is. Not only does it affect those that are there, that are present, but it also was so powerful to affect the people in the past and the people in the present. Listen to me, those people who are faithful and obedient in the Old Testament, that believed in the Lord, that had faith in God, that did the sacrifices, those types of things, basically all they were doing is putting an IOU for waiting for Jesus Christ to die on the cross so that they had that blood so that they might enter into heaven. That's a cool picture to think about. You know, the people of the Old Testament don't get into in heaven any different than we do today. Salvation was no different back then than it is today. Read the book of Romans, you'll figure that out. We don't have a lot of time to go into all that, but Romans chapter 4 talks all about, it's about believing. It's about faith in God. Isn't that so easy? Isn't that so easy? But wow, do people reject it every day. God made it so easy for us just to believe, put our heart, our trust in God. But people say, nah, I don't want that. Nah, I don't want that. Listen to me, when he comes back again, he's not coming back to die on a cross. He's coming back for you and I. This is a hard verse, church, but I want us to listen to it closely. It says, just as people are destined to die once, and after that, face judgment. What does that mean? It means we're all going to die. Maybe if the Lord comes back, we might not experience that. But we're all appointed once to die. And after that, face judgment. There's no second chances. God gives us second, third, fourth, fifth, 18 chances if you're me, here on earth. But once I pass away, that's it. And let me ask you, without Jesus, are you really going to be able to defend the things you've done in this life to the holy and glorious God? I couldn't. The things I've done in my life, you know what I'll do if I didn't have Christ? I'll do what everybody else does. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. He is much greater than I and much greater than you. And we're not as good as we think we are. We're not as good as we think we are. And it's about time we come to realize that I need Jesus Christ every single day in my life. Every single day. So why is the blood of Christ so important in our life? It's what forgives us of our sins. Why is the blood of Jesus Christ so important? It forgives sins. It forgives our sins. And listen to me. Why is the blood of Jesus Christ so important? It continues to make us right. It continues to sanctify us. It continues to wash over us. Listen to me. When you make a mistake, Jesus does not have to come back and die again. We just go to the Father. Because we can approach, listen to me, this is an important thing to know as a believer in Christ. You can approach the throne of God with boldness and confidence. Not because you're good, not because you're awesome, not because you've done some good things in your life, but because you have the blood of Jesus Christ. And he intercedes for you and I so that you can go to God with whatever you have in your life. That's a blessing, church. Blessings don't always come physical. And a lot of times they won't ever come physical in this life. This world is fallen, it's beaten, it's dying. But you get to partake in something everlasting. Something everlasting. Listen to me, church. They sacrificed over and over again. That's the first covenant. And listen to me, if you're like me and you're like the other Israelites, you're not good enough to keep the first covenant. And God understood that and God knew that. So what did he do? He took his own son to the cross to pay our sins debt. Because he loves us. Maybe if you've never felt love in your life, maybe you've had a mom or a dad that's abused you, maybe you've had friends that cut you down, that betray you, whatever it might be, you can rest assured in this as a believer in Jesus Christ. You are loved unconditionally. That is what motivates me in this life. Success doesn't get me very far, not in this life. Money doesn't get me very far in this life. People, a lot of times, praise the Lord for relationships because we need them. But even people have let me down many, many times, and they don't get me very far in life. But the one thing that has kept me going in this life is the blood of Jesus Christ. And I hope you can say the same thing, church. Listen to me. Maybe you're here today and you're struggling with sin in your life. Remember this. What can wash my sin away? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. And listen to me. Let me change the hymn just a little bit. What a wonderful hymn. What can draw me closer to God? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. What can heal me from addiction? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. What can restore my family? What can bring my family back together? Listen to me, church. Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. What can wash my sins away? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. So awesome and wonderful as it is. And listen to me, church, as we get closer to Christmas, rejoice. Be joyful. I know everybody's Christmas is not so joyful all the time. Not everybody has a good Christmas. But if you have Jesus Christ, you could have a great Christmas every Christmas. Remember the awesome and wonderful gift. But also remember that gift was sacrificed for you and I. That we do not deserve His grace and His mercy. But He did it. What did we deserve? Wrath. Judgment. But Christ loved us so much, shed His blood for you and I, so that we might have fellowship with God. That's awesome. And if there's one thing that a person needs to know, it's that. Now, maybe you can break it down so that people can understand it a little better. But listen to me. People need to know what Christ has done for them. Whether they laugh at you, whether they reject it, whatever it might be, you ought to be telling people about the blood of Christ. You ought to be telling people about what the blood of Christ has done for you. Listen to me, we think people are just going to get it and they're just going to come to some realization. But God has called you and I to go out into the world to share the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I don't think the church is doing such a great job. At least not here in America. So I'll ask you this question along with another. When's the last time you shared with somebody about the blood of Christ? But back to the first question. Have you forgotten about the blood of Christ? Maybe you're here today and you've been sinning. Maybe you're today and you just came in with loads and loads of sin. I have no idea what you've been doing. But listen to me very closely, church. I know the one that can wash it away. Do not leave here today if you're struggling with sin, when you can come down and you can kneel before God and ask Him to intercede in your life, to take your sin and wash it as white as snow. And I'll remind you, church, that He is faithful and just in all that He does, and He never lets us down. So when He promised you to take your sin and wash it as white as snow, you can about bet all the time, 100%, He will take your sin and cast it away. That's a wonderful promise. That if you come to God with your heart, true repentance, He's willing to take your sin and cast it away. Like it wasn't there. It's gone. So let's stay in church. altar's open. Maybe you want to come down here